Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. The Mildly Interesting will be taking a holiday break until Sunday, December 12th. Until then, we hope you enjoy some of our favorite episodes from our archive. A taco is a traditional Mexican dish consisting of small hand-sized corn or wheat tortilla topped with a filling. The tortilla is then folded around the filling and eaten by hand. A taco can be made with various fillings, including beef, pork, chicken, seafood, beans, vegetables, and cheese, allowing great versatility and variety. They are often garnished with various condiments, such as salsa, guacamole, sour cream, and vegetables like lettuce, onion, tomatoes, and chilies. Tacos are a common form of antojitos, or Mexican street food, which have spread around the world. Tacos can be contrasted with similar foods, such as burritos, which are often much more extensive and rolled rather than folded, taquitos rolled and fried, or chalupas tostadas, the tortilla is fried before filling. The origins of the taco are not precisely known, and etymologies for the culinary usage of the word are generally theoretical. In the sense of a typical Mexican dish comprising a maize tortilla folded around food, taco is just one of the meanings connoted by the word, according to the Real Academia Española, publisher of Diccionario de la Lengua Española. This meaning of the Spanish word, taco, is a Mexican innovation, but the word taco is used in other contexts to mean wedge, wad, plug, billiard cue, blowpipe, ramrod, short, stocky person, or short, thick piece of wood. The etymological origin of this sense of the word is Germanic and has cognates in other European languages, including the French word tache and the English word tac. In Spain, the word taco can also be used in the context of tacos de jamón, s, these are diced pieces of ham, or sometimes bits and shavings of ham left over after a more significant piece is sliced. They can be served on their own as tapas or street food or can be added to other dishes such as salmorejo, omelets, stews, empanadas or melon con jamón, s. According to one etymological theory, the culinary origin of the term taco in Mexico can be traced to its employment among Mexican silver miners, as a term signifying plug. The miners used explosive charges in plug form, consisting of a paper wrapper and gunpowder filling. Indigenous origins are also proposed. One possibility is that the word derives from the Nahuatl word tlico, meaning half or in the middle, in the sense that food would be placed in the middle of a tortilla. Furthermore, dishes analogous to the taco were known to have existed in pre-Columbian society, for example, the Nahuatl word tlaxcali, a type of corn tortilla. The taco predates the arrival of the Spanish in Mexico. There is anthropological evidence that the indigenous people living in the lake region of the Valley of Mexico traditionally ate tacos filled with small fish. Writing at the time of the Spanish conquistadors, Bernal Díaz del Castillo documented the first taco feast enjoyed by Europeans, a meal which Hernán Cortés arranged for his captains in Coyoacán. There are many traditional varieties of tacos. Tacos al pastor, shepherd style, or tacos de adobada are made of thin pork steaks, seasoned with adobo seasoning, then skewered and overlapped on one another on a vertical rotisserie cooked and flame broiled as it spins. Tacos de asador, spit or grill tacos, may be composed of carne asada tacos, tacos de tripita, tripe tacos, grilled until crisp, and chorizo asado, traditional Spanish-style sausage. Each type is served on two overlapped small tortillas and sometimes garnished with guacamole, salsa, onions and cilantro, coriander leaf. Also prepared on the grill is a sandwich taco called mulita, little mule, made with meat served between two tortillas and garnished with Oaxaca-style cheese. Mulita is used to describe these types of sandwiched tacos in the northern states of Mexico, while they are known as gringa in the Mexican south and are prepared using wheat flour tortillas. Tacos may also be served with salsa. Tacos de cabeza, head tacos, in which there is a flat punctured metal plate from which steam emerges to cook the head of the cow. These include cabeza, a serving of the muscles of the head, sesos, brains, lengua, tongue, cochete, cheeks, trompa, lips, and ojo, eye. Tortillas for these tacos are warmed on the same steaming plate for a different consistency. These tacos are typically served in pairs and include salsa, onion, and cilantro, coriander leaf, with occasional use of guacamole. Tacos de camarones, shrimp tacos, also originated in Baja California, in Mexico. Grilled or fried shrimp are used, usually with the same accompaniments as fish tacos, lettuce or cabbage, pico de gallo, avocado, and sour cream or citrus mayonnaise sauce, all placed on top of a corn or flour tortilla. Tacos de cozo, literally bucket tacos, for which a metal bowl filled with lard is typically used as a deep fryer. Meats for these types of tacos typically include tripa, tripe, usually from a pig instead of a cow, and can also refer to the intestines, suadero, tender beef cuts, carnitas and bouche, literally, crop, as in bird's crop, or the esophagus of any animal. Tacos de lengua, beef tongue tacos, are cooked in water with onions, garlic, and bay leaves for several hours until tender and soft, then sliced and sautéed in a small amount of oil. It is said that unless a taqueria offers tacos de lengua, it is not a real taqueria. Tacos de pescado, fish tacos, originated in Baja California in Mexico, consisting of grilled or fried fish, lettuce or cabbage, pico de gallo, and sour cream or sour cream citrus mayonnaise sauce, all placed on top of a corn or flour tortilla. In the United States, they were first popularized by Rubio's fast food chain and remain most popular in California, Colorado, and Washington. In California, they are often found at street vendors, and a regional variation is to serve them with cabbage and coleslaw dressing on top. Tacos dorados, fried tacos, literally, golden tacos, called flautas, flute, because of the shape, or taquitos, for which the tortillas are filled with pre-cooked shredded chicken, beef, or barbacoa, rolled into an elongated cylinder and deep-fried until crisp. They are sometimes cooked in a microwave oven or broiled. Tacos sudados, sweaty tacos, are made by filling soft tortillas with a spicy meat mixture, then placing them in a basket covered with cloth. The covering keeps the tacos warm and traps steam, sweat, which softens them. As an accompaniment to tacos, many taco stands will serve whole or sliced red radishes, lime slices, salt, pickled or grilled chilies, hot peppers, and occasionally cucumber slices or grilled cambray onions. The hard shell or crispy taco is a tradition that developed in the United States. The most common type of taco in the US is the hard shell, U-shaped version, first described in a cookbook in 1949. This type of taco is typically served as a crisp fried corn tortilla filled with seasoned ground beef, cheese, lettuce, and sometimes tomato, onion, salsa, sour cream, and avocado or guacamole. Such tacos are sold by restaurants and fast food chains, while kits are readily available in most supermarkets. Hard-shell tacos are sometimes known as tacos dorados, golden tacos in Spanish, a name that they share with taquitos. Various sources credit different individuals with the invention of the hard-shell taco, but some form of the dish likely predates all of them. Beginning from the early part of the 20th century, various types of tacos became popular, especially in Texas and California, and elsewhere. By the late 1930s, companies like Ashley Mexican Food and Absolute Mexican Foods were selling appliances and ingredients for cooking hard-shell tacos, and the first patents for hard-shell taco cooking appliances were filed in the 1940s. In the mid-1950s, Glenn Bell opened Taco Tia and began selling a simplified version of the tacos, sold by Mexican restaurants in San Bernardino, particularly the tacos dorados being sold at the Mitla Cafe Lucia and Salvador Rodriguez across the street from another of Bell's restaurants. Over the next few years, Bell owned and operated several restaurants in Southern California, including four called El Taco. At this time, Los Angeles was racially segregated, and the tacos sold at Bell's restaurants were many white Americans' first introduction to Mexican food. Bell sold the El Tacos to his partner and built the first Taco Bell in Downey in 1962. Kermit Becky, a former Los Angeles police officer, bought the first Taco Bell franchise from Glenn Bell in 1964 and located it in Torrance. The company grew rapidly, and by 1967, the 100th restaurant opened at 400 South Brookhurst in Anaheim. In 1968, its first franchise location east of the Mississippi River opened in Springfield, Ohio. Traditionally, soft-shelled tacos referred to corn tortillas cooked softer than a hard taco, usually by grilling or steaming. More recently, the term has come to include flour tortilla-based tacos mostly from large manufacturers and restaurant chains. In this context, soft tacos are made with wheat flour tortillas and filled with the same ingredients as a hard taco. The breakfast taco, found in Tex-Mex cuisine, is soft corn or flour tortilla filled with meat, eggs, or cheese and contains other ingredients. Some have claimed that Austin, Texas is the home of the breakfast taco. However, food writer and OC Weekly editor Gustavo Arellano responded that such a statement reflects a common trend of whitewashed foodways reporting, noting that predominantly Hispanic San Antonio, Texas never had to brag about its breakfast taco love. Folks there just call it breakfast. Indian tacos, or Navajo tacos, are made using fry bread instead of tortillas. They are commonly eaten at powwows, festivals, and other gatherings by and for indigenous people in the United States and Canada. This kind of taco is not known to have been present before the arrival of Europeans in what is now the southwestern United States. Navajo tradition indicates that fry bread came into use in the 1860s when the government forced the tribe to relocate from their homeland in Arizona in a journey known as the Long Walk of the Navajo. It was made from ingredients given to them by the government to supplement their diet since the region could not support growing the agricultural commodities that had been previously used. Since at least 1978, a variation called the puffy taco has been widespread. Henry's Puffy Tacos, opened by Henry Lopez in San Antonio, Texas, claims to have invented the variation, in which uncooked corn tortillas, flattened balls of masa dough, are quickly fried in hot oil until they expand and become puffy. Fillings are similar to hard-shell versions. Restaurants offering this style of taco have since appeared in other Texas cities and in California, where Henry's brother, Arturo Lopez, opened Arturo's Puffy Taco in Whittier, not long after Henry's opened. Henry's continues to thrive, managed by the family's second generation. Kits are available at grocery and convenience stores and usually consist of taco shells, corn tortillas already fried in a U-shape, seasoning mix, and taco sauce. Commercial vendors for the home market also market soft taco kits with tortillas instead of taco shells. The tacadilla contains melted cheese in between the two folded tortillas, thus resembling a quesadilla. In the United States, National Taco Day is celebrated annually on October 4th. And now, the tortilla. A flour tortilla or wheat tortilla is a soft, thin flatbread made from finely ground wheat flour. It was initially inspired by the corn tortilla of Mexican cuisine, a flatbread of maize that predates the arrival of Europeans to the Americas. Made with flour and water-based dough, it is pressed and cooked similar to corn tortillas. The most straightforward recipes use only flour, water, fat, and salt, but commercially made flour tortillas generally contain chemical leavening agents, such as baking powder and other ingredients. The flour tortilla is a variant of the corn tortilla. The word tortilla comes from Spanish, meaning small cake. The oldest found tortillas dated back 10,000 years BCE, and were made of native maize with dried kernels. The corn tortilla was the principal food of the Aztecs and other Mesoamerican civilizations. The flour tortilla is a much more recent invention. It is said by some that flour tortillas originated in the northern Mexican states of Chihuahua, Durango, Sonora, and Sinaloa, where the territory is more suited to growing wheat than corn. They have become integral to Mexican-American, most notably in a burrito, Mexican, and Tex-Mex, cuisine. Mexican-Americans talk about the flour tortilla having come from the wheat-filled plenty of the United States. It is often attributed to Alta California when California was still part of the Mexican Republic. It is mainly credited to the Northern and Central California regions, with the first mass-produced flour tortillas from flour tortilla factories in metropolitan Los Angeles. Some have even attributed the origin of flour tortillas to Jewish immigrants of the United States. Tortilla, from Spanish torta, cake, plus the diminutive illa, literally means little cake. Tortilla in Iberian Spanish also means omelette. This wheat flour flatbread tortilla is not confused with the Spanish omelette or any other egg-based one. Wheat tortillas are a staple of the northern Mexican states, such as Sonora, Sinaloa, and Chihuahua, and throughout the southwestern United States. Tortillas vary in size from about 6 to over 30 centimeters, 2.4 to over 12 in, depending on the region of the country and the dish for which it is intended. Industrially produced tortillas typically contain numerous chemicals to ease the production process, control texture and flavor, and extend shelf life. Work has been done at Washington State University to develop methods for producing tortillas on a mass scale while still using only whole wheat flour, water, oil, and salt, with a fermented flour and water sourdough starter replacing chemical leaveners. Today, personal and industrial, Mexican style, tortilla making equipment has facilitated and expedited tortilla making. Manually operated wooden tortilla presses of the past led to today's industrial tortilla machinery, which can produce up to 60,000 tortillas per hour. Tortillas are now made from maize and wheat flour. Homemade and store-bought tortillas are made in many flavors and varieties. Tortillas remain a staple food in Mexico and Central America, and have gained popularity and market share elsewhere. In the US, tortillas have grown from an ethnic to a mainstream food. They have surpassed bagels and muffins and have become the number two packaged bread product sold in the US, behind sliced bread. The Tortilla Industry Association, TIA, estimates, in the US alone, the tortilla industry, tortillas and their products, tortilla chips, tostada shells, and taco shells, has become $6 billion a year industry. Soft wheat tortillas use wheat instead of masa as the primary ingredient. The Mission Foods brand listed as enriched bleached wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, thiamine mononitrate, riboflavin, folic acid, water, vegetable shortening, intra-esterified soybean oil, hydrogenated soybean oil and/or palm oil, contains 2% or less of salt, sugar, leavening, sodium bicarbonate, sodium aluminium sulfate, corn starch, monocalcium phosphate and/or sodium acid pyrophosphate, calcium sulfate, distilled monoglycerides, enzymes, wheat starch, calcium carbonate, antioxidants, tocopherols, ascorbic acid, citric acid, cellulose gum, guar gum, dough conditioner, fumaric acid, sodium metabisulfite and/or mono and diglycerides, calcium propionate and sorbic acid, to preserve freshness. The recipe recommended by American chef and restaurateur Rick Bayless, who specializes in traditional Mexican cuisine, uses just four ingredients: flour, lard, salt, and water. The nutritional info for the Mission brand 49 grams wheat tortilla is: total fat, 3.5 grams, saturated 3.5 grams, monounsaturated 1 gram minus 5% daily allowance. Sodium, 420 milligrams to 18% daily allowance. Total carbohydrate, 24 grams to 8% daily allowance. Dietary fiber, 1 gram to 4% daily allowance. Protein, 4 grams. Calcium, 8% daily allowance. Iron, 8% daily allowance. Wheat flour tortillas have been used on many American spaceflights since 1985 as an easy solution to the problems of handling food in microgravity and preventing bread crumbs from escaping into delicate instruments. The word tortilla in these countries refers to the ubiquitous corn tortilla made of maize. In Mexico, burritos are made with wheat tortillas. Flour tortillas were also very popular in Tex-Mex food and plates like fajitas. Flour tortilla with beans and eggs was very popular in northern Mexico and in the southwest. The origin of the flour tortilla was northern Mexico, which is why so many plates are made with it, like quesadillas and burritos, chimichangas, and fajitas served with a flour tortilla and bean taco or chorizo taco. The flour tortilla is the sister to the corn tortilla, which was created first. The corn tortilla is more famous from Mexico City southward, but in northern Mexico, where it originated, the flour tortilla may be as famous as the corn tortilla. Flour tortillas are commonly filled with meat, chopped potatoes, refried beans, cheese, hot sauce, and other ingredients to make dishes such as tacos, quesadillas, and burritos, a dish originating in the Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, El Paso, Texas area. In northern Mexico and much of the United States, tortillas mean wheat flour tortillas. They are the foundation of Mexican border cooking. Their popularity was driven by the low cost of inferior grades of wheat flour provided to border markets and their ability to keep and ship well. In Guam, it is called tortillas, and it is paired with Kelligan Manok. Tortilla art is the use of tortillas as a substrate for painting. Tortillas are baked and then covered in acrylic before they are painted. Tortillas in Central America sometimes differ somewhat from their Mexican counterparts, although are made similarly. The tortillas in Guatemala and El Salvador are about 5 mm thick and about 10 cm in diameter, just like Mexican gorditas. Like the Mexican tortillas, the maize is soaked in a mixture of water and lime, or lye, then rinsed and ground. In El Salvador, they sometimes use sorghum, called maicillo, to make tortillas with insufficient maize. Also, in El Salvador, there is a vast, thick tortilla called a chenga, on top of which food is placed, like an edible plate, to serve food to the laborers in coffee plantations and farms. Honduras is well known for using wheat flour tortillas to make balidas, consisting of a wheat flour tortilla, folded in half, with various items, beans, cream, scrambled eggs, put inside. Maize and wheat tortillas can often be found in supermarkets in El Salvador and Costa Rica produced by Mexican companies. Stuffed tortillas, known as pupusas, are also a famous dish of traditional Salvadoran cuisine. Tortillas are widely used in the United States, in recipes of Mexican origin, and many others. As a testament to their popularity, the Tortilla Industry Association, TIA, estimated Americans consumed approximately 85 billion tortillas in 2000, not including tortilla chips. They are more popular than other ethnic bread, such as English muffins, pita bread, and bagels. Tortilla chips, made from maize tortillas cut into wedges, then fried, first gained popularity in the 1940s in Los Angeles, California, and were mass-produced there. The ingredients in maize tortillas are maize, lime, and water. Fried chips, add salt and vegetable oil. Flour tortillas are commonly used in burritos. They are also used to make fajitas, wraps, sandwiches, quesadillas, casseroles and stews, and numerous other uses. Many people from both northern Mexico and throughout the southwestern United States eat tortillas as a staple food. Many restaurants use wheat flour tortillas in a variety of non-Mexican and Mexican recipes. Many grocery stores sell ready-made tortillas. Here's something you might find interesting about sourdough. Sourdough is commonly made by the fermentation of dough, using naturally occurring lactobacilli and yeast. The lactic acid, produced by itself, gave it a more sour taste and improved keeping qualities. In the Encyclopedia of Food Microbiology, Michael Gainsel writes, "The origins of breadmaking are so ancient that everything said about them must be pure speculation. One of the oldest sourdough breads dates from 3700 BCE and was excavated in Switzerland, but the origin of sourdough fermentation likely relates to the origin of agriculture in the Fertile Crescent several thousand years earlier, which was confirmed a few years later by archaeological evidence, Bread production relied on the use of sourdough as a leavening agent for most of human history. The use of baker's yeast as a leavening agent dates back less than 150 years. Pliny the Elder described the sourdough method in his Natural History. Generally, however, they do not heat it up at all, but only use the dough kept over from the day before. Manifestly, it is natural for sourness to make the dough ferment. Nat. His. 1826 Section 104 Sourdough remained the usual form of leavening down into the European Middle Ages until being replaced by barm from the beer brewing process and after 1871 by purpose cultured yeast. Bread made from 100% rye flour, famous in the northern half of Europe, is usually leavened with sourdough. As rye does not contain enough gluten, baker's yeast is not beneficial as a leavening agent for rye bread. The structure of rye bread is based primarily on the starch in the flour and other carbohydrates known as pentosans. However, rye amylase is active at substantially higher temperatures than wheat amylase, causing the structure of the bread to disintegrate, as the starches are broken down during cooking. Therefore, the lowered pH of a sourdough starter inactivates the amylases when heat cannot, allowing the carbohydrates in the bread to gel and set properly. In the southern part of Europe, where panettone is still made with sourdough as leavening, sourdough had become less common in the 20th century. It has been replaced by the faster-growing baker's yeast, sometimes supplemented with longer fermentation rests to allow for some bacterial activity to build flavor. In the past 10 years, sourdough fermentation has become a significant fermentation process in bread production, although it is commonly used in conjunction with baker's yeast as a leavening agent. French bakers brought sourdough techniques to Northern California during the California Gold Rush, and it remains a part of the culture of San Francisco today. The nickname remains in Sourdough Sam, the mascot of the San Francisco 49ers. Sourdough has long been associated with the 1849 gold prospectors, though they were more likely to make bread with commercial yeast or baking soda. The celebrated San Francisco sourdough is a white bread characterized by a pronounced sourness, and indeed the strain of lactobacillus in sourdough starters is named Fructolactobacillus sanfranciscensis, previously Lactobacillus sanfranciscensis, alongside the sourdough yeast Casaxtania humilis, previously Candida milleri, found in the same cultures. The sourdough tradition was carried into Alaska and the Yukon territories of Canada during the Klondike Gold Rush of 1898. Conventional leavenings such as yeast and baking soda were much less reliable in the conditions faced by the prospectors. Experienced miners and other settlers frequently carried a starter pouch around their neck or on a belt. These were fiercely guarded to keep from freezing. However, freezing does not kill a sourdough starter, excessive heat does. Old hands came to be called sourdoughs, a term still applied to any Alaskan or Klondike old-timer. The significance of the nickname's association with Yukon culture was immortalized in the writings of Robert Service, particularly his collection of Songs of a Sourdough. In English-speaking countries, where wheat-based bread predominate, sourdough is no longer the standard method for bread leavening. It was gradually replaced, first by using barm from beer making, then, after the confirmation of germ theory by Louis Pasteur, by cultured yeasts. Although sourdough bread was superseded in commercial bakeries in the 20th century, it has revived among artisan bakers and, more recently, in industrial bakeries. Manufacturers of non-sourdough bread make up for the lack of yeast and bacterial culture by introducing into their dough an artificially made mix known as bread improver or flour improver. The preparation of sourdough begins with a pre-ferment, the starter or leaven, also known as the chief, chef, head, mother, or sponge, a fermented mixture of flour and water, containing a colony of microorganisms including wild yeast and lactobacilli. The purpose of the starter is to produce a vigorous leaven and develop the flavor of the bread. There are several starters in practice, as the ratio of water to flour in the starter, hydration, varies. A starter may be a liquid batter or a stiff dough. Flour naturally contains a variety of yeast and bacteria. When wheat flour comes into contact with water, the naturally occurring enzyme amylase breaks down the starch into glucose and maltose, which sourdough's natural yeast can metabolize. The mixture develops a stable culture with sufficient time, temperature, and refreshments with new or fresh dough. This culture will cause the dough to rise. The bacteria ferment starches that the yeast cannot metabolize, and the byproducts, chiefly maltose, are metabolized by the yeast, which produces carbon dioxide gas, leavening the dough. Obtaining a satisfactory rise from sourdough takes longer than a dough leavened with baker's yeast because the yeast in a sourdough is less vigorous. However, in the presence of lactic acid bacteria, some sourdough yeasts have been observed to produce twice the gas of baker's yeast. The acidic conditions in sourdough and the bacteria also producing enzymes that break down proteins result in weaker gluten, and may produce a denser finished product. As it ferments, sometimes for several days, the starter volume is increased by periodic additions of flour and water, called refreshments. As long as this starter culture is fed flour and water regularly, it will remain active. The ratio of fermented starter to fresh flour and water is critical in developing and maintaining a starter. This ratio is called the refreshment ratio. Higher refreshment ratios are associated with more excellent microbial stability in the sourdough. In San Francisco sourdough, the ratio is 40% of the total weight, roughly equivalent to 67% of the new dough's weight. A high refreshment ratio keeps the acidity of the refreshed dough relatively low. Acidity levels below pH 4.0 inhibit lactobacilli and favor acid-tolerant yeasts. A starter prepared from scratch with a salted wheat rye dough takes about 54 hours at 27 degrees Celsius, 81 degrees Fahrenheit, to stabilize at a pH between 4.4 and 4.6. 4% salt inhibits San Franciscensis, while Milleri can withstand 8%. A drier and cooler starter has less bacterial activity and more yeast growth, which results in the bacterial production of more acetic acid relative to lactic acid. Conversely, a wetter and warmer starter has more bacterial activity and less yeast growth, with more lactic acid than acetic acid. The yeasts produce mainly CO2 and ethanol. High amounts of lactic acid are desired in rye and mixed rye fermentations, while higher amounts of acetic acid are desired in wheat fermentations. A dry, excellent starter produces a sourer loaf than a wet, warm one. Firm starters, such as the Flemish Dissum starter, which may be buried in a large container of flour to prevent drying out, tend to be more resource-intensive than wet ones. A stable culture in which F. San Franciscensis is the dominant bacterium requires a temperature between 25 to 30 degrees Celsius, 77 to 86 degrees Fahrenheit, and refreshments every 24 hours for about 2 weeks. Refreshment intervals of longer than 3 days acidify the dough and may change the microbial ecosystem. The intervals between refreshments of the starter may be reduced to increase the rate of gas, CO2, production, a process described as acceleration. In this process, the ratio of yeasts to lactobacilli may be altered. Generally, if once daily refreshment intervals have not been reduced to several hours, the percentage amount of starter in the final dough should be reduced to obtain a satisfactory rise during proof. Faster starter processes, requiring fewer refreshments, have been devised, sometimes using commercial sourdough starters as inoculants. These starters generally fall into two types. One is made from traditionally maintained and stable starter doughs, often dried, in which the ratios of microorganisms are uncertain. Another is made from microorganisms carefully isolated from petri dishes, grown into large, homogeneous populations in fermenters, and processed into combined baker's products with numerically defined ratios and known quantities of microorganisms well suited to particular bread styles. Maintaining metabolically active sourdough with high levain activity typically requires several refreshments per day, which is achieved in bakeries that use sourdough as sole leavening agents but not by amateur bakers that use the sourdough only weekly or even less frequently. Bakers have devised several ways of encouraging a stable culture of microorganisms in the starter. Unbleached, unbromated flour contains more microorganisms than more processed flour. Bran-containing, wholemeal, flour provides the most incredible variety of organisms and additional minerals, though some cultures use an initial mixture of white flour and rye or whole wheat flour or seed the culture using unwashed organic grapes, for the wild yeasts on their skins. Grapes and grapes must also are sources of lactic acid bacteria, as are many other edible plants. Basil leaves are soaked in room temperature water for an hour to seed traditional Greek sourdough. Using water from boiled potatoes is said to increase the activity of the bacteria by providing additional starch. The piped drinking water supplied in most urban areas is treated by chlorination or chloramination, adding small amounts of substances that inhibit potentially dangerous microorganisms but are harmless to animals. Some bakers recommend unchlorinated water for feeding cultures. Because sourdough fermentation relies on microorganisms, using water without these agents may produce better results. Bottled drinking water is suitable, chlorine, but not chloramines, can be removed from tap water by boiling it for a time or simply leaving it uncovered for at least 24 hours. Chlorine and chloramines can both be removed by activated carbon filters. Adding a small quantity of diastatic malt provides maltase and simple sugars to support the yeasts initially. Bakers often make loaves with fermented dough from a previous batch, which they call mother dough, mother sponge, chef, or seed sour, rather than making a new starter every time they bake. The original starter culture may be many years old. Because of their pH level and the presence of antibacterial agents, such cultures are stable and prevent colonization by unwanted yeasts and bacteria. For this reason, sourdough products inherently keep fresh for a longer time than other bread and are good at resisting spoilage and mold without the additives required to retard spoiling of other types of bread. The flavor of sourdough bread varies from place to place according to the method used, the hydration of the starter and the final dough, the refreshment ratio, the length of the fermentation periods, ambient temperature, humidity, and elevation, all of which contribute to the microbiology of the sourdough. The starter must be fed 4 to 12 hours before mixing flour and water with the starter. This creates an active leaven, which should grow in size and is ready to use when bubbly floats in water. The leaven is mixed with flour and water to make a final dough of the desired consistency. The starter weight is usually 13% to 25% of the total flour weight, though formulas vary. The dough is shaped into loaves, left to rise, and then baked. Several no-knead methods are available for sourdough bread. Due to the time sourdough bread takes to proof, many bakers may refrigerate their loaves before baking. This process is known as retardation to slow down the proofing process. This process has the added benefit of developing a more decadent flavored bread. Because the rise time of most sourdough starters is longer than bread made with baker's yeasts, sourdough starters are generally unsuitable for use in a bread machine. However, sourdough that has been proofed over many hours, using a sourdough starter or mother dough, can then be transferred to the machine, utilizing only the baking segment of the bread-making program, bypassing timed mechanical kneading by the machine's paddle. This may be convenient for single loaf production, but the complex blistered and slashed crust characteristics of oven-baked sourdough bread cannot be achieved in a bread-making machine, as this usually requires the use of a baking stone in the oven and misting of the dough to produce steam. Furthermore, ideal crust development requires loaves of shapes not achievable in a machine's loaf tin. Sourdough is a stable culture of lactic acid bacteria and yeast in a mixture of flour and water. Broadly speaking, the yeast produces gas, carbon dioxide, which leavens the dough, and the lactic acid bacteria produce lactic acid, which contributes flavor in the form of sourness. The lactic acid bacteria metabolize sugars that the yeast cannot, while the yeast metabolizes the byproducts of lactic acid fermentation. Many cereal enzymes, particularly phytases, proteases, and pentosanases, are activated through acidification and contribute to biochemical changes during sourdough fermentation. Lactic acid bacteria are aerotolerant anaerobes, which means that though they are anaerobes, they can multiply in the presence of oxygen. In sourdough, major lactic acid bacteria are heterofermentative organisms and convert hexoses by the phosphoketolase pathway to lactate, CO2, and acetate or ethanol. Heterofermentative lactic acid bacteria are usually associated with homofermentative lactobacilli, particularly Lactobacillus and Company Lactobacillus species. Sourdough's most common yeast species are Kazakhstania exigua, Saccharomyces exiguus, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, K. exigus, and K. humilis, previously Candida milleri or Candida humilis. Traditional sourdoughs used as sole leavening agents are type I sourdough. Examples include sourdoughs used for San Francisco sourdough bread, panettone, and rye bread. Type I sourdoughs are generally firm doughs, have a pH range of 3.8 to 4.5, and are fermented in a temperature range of 20 to 30 degrees Celsius, 68 to 86 degrees Fahrenheit. To produce acetic acid, San Franciscensis needs maltose and fructose. The wheat dough contains abundant starch and polyfructosanes, which enzymes degrade to maltose, fructose and little glucose. The terms fructosan, glucofructan, sucrosylfructan, polyfructan, and polyfructosan are all used to describe a class of compounds that are structurally and metabolically related to sucrose, where carbon is stored as sucrose and polymers of fructose, fructans. Yeasts have the ability to free fructose from glucofructans, which compose about 1 to 2% of the dough. Glucofructans are long strings of fructose molecules attached to a single glucose molecule. Sucrose can be considered the shortest glucofructan, with only a single fructose molecule attached. When L. San Franciscensis reduces all available fructose, it stops producing acetic acid, and begins producing ethanol. If the fermenting dough gets too warm, the yeasts slow down, producing less fructose. Fructose depletion is more of a concern in those with lower enzymatic activities. A Belgian study of wheat and spelt doughs refreshed once every 24 hours and fermented at 30 degrees Celsius, 86 degrees Fahrenheit, in a laboratory environment provides insight into the three-phase evolution of first-generation to stable sourdough ecosystems. In the first 2 days of refreshment, atypical genera Enterococcus and Lactococcus bacteria highlighted the doughs. During days 2 to 5, sourdough-specific bacteria belonging to the genera Lactobacillus, Pediococcus, and Weissella outcompete earlier strains. Yeasts grew more slowly and reached population peaks near days 4 to 5. By days 5 to 7, well-adapted Lactobacillus strains such as L. fermentum and Lactoplantibacillus plantarum had emerged. At their peaks, yeast populations were in the range of about 1-10% of the Lactobacilli populations or 1:10 to 1:100. One characteristic of a stable dough is that the heterofermentative have outcompeted homofermentative Lactobacilli. F. San Franciscensis has typically not been identified in spontaneous sourdoughs, even after multiple cycles of backslopping. It was rapidly introduced in wheat sourdoughs, however, when plant materials were used to start the fermentation. Investigations of wheat sourdough found that S. cerevisiae died off after two refreshment cycles. S. cerevisiae has less tolerance to acetic acid than other sourdough yeasts. Continuously maintained, stable sourdough cannot be unintentionally contaminated by S. cerevisiae. In type 2 sourdoughs, baker's yeast or Saccharomyces cerevisiae is added to leaven the dough, L. pontis and Limosylactobacillus pannus in association with Lactobacillus species are dominant members of type 2 sourdoughs. They have a pH less than 3.5 and are fermented within a temperature range of 30 to 50 degrees Celsius, 86 to 122 degrees Fahrenheit, for several days without feedings, which reduces the flora's activity. This process was adopted by some in industry, in part, due to simplification of the multiple-step build typical of type I sourdoughs. In type 2 sourdoughs, yeast growth is slowed or stopped due to higher fermentation temperatures. These doughs are more liquid and, once fermented, may be chilled and stored for up to a week. They are pumpable and used in continuous bread production systems. Type 3 sourdoughs are subjected to a drying process, usually either spray or drum drying, and are mainly used at an industrial level as flavoring agents. They are dominated by drying-resistant, lactic acid bacteria, such as Pediococcus pentasarchius, L. plantarum, and L. brevis. The drying conditions, time, and heat applied may be varied to influence caramelization and produce desired characteristics in the baked product. Many pieces of bread use techniques similar to those used in the making of sourdough bread. Danish rugbrød, rye bread, is a dense, dark bread best known for its use in the Danish smørrebrød, open-faced sandwiches. The Mexican Bayrot Salado started out in Guadalajara as a short French baguette that replaces the yeast with a sourdough fermentation process, yielding a crunchy bread outside but soft, savory inside. Amish Friendship bread uses a sourdough starter that includes sugar and milk. It is also leavened with baking powder and baking soda. An Amish sourdough is fed with sugar and potato flakes every 3 to 5 days. German pumpernickel is traditionally made from a sourdough starter, although modern pumpernickel loaves often use commercial yeasts, sometimes spiked with citric acid or lactic acid, to inactivate the amylases in the rye flour. Flemish Dissem bread, the word means starter, is a whole wheat sourdough, In Azerbaijan, whole wheat sourdough flatbreads are traditionally eaten. In Ethiopia, teff flour is fermented to make injera. A similar variant is eaten in Somalia, Djibouti, and Yemen, known as lahore. In India, idols and dosa are made from a sourdough fermentation of rice and vinya mango. Sourdough bread has a relatively low glycemic index compared with other types of bread. The activity of cereal enzymes during sourdough fermentation hydrolyzes phytates, which improves the absorption of some dietary minerals and vitamins, most of which are found in the bran. Sourdough fermentation reduces wheat components that may contribute to non-celiac wheat sensitivity and irritable bowel syndrome. Sourdough fermentation and lactic acid bacteria may be helpful to improve the quality of gluten-free bread, such as by enhancing texture, aroma, and shelf life.